Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast, ready to talk movies, TVs, and, of course, have some fun along the way. It's good to be back. Couple-week hiatus, lots to get into. Primarily today, we got the boogeyman, Combs the Desert, Never Make Mads Mad, and we debate, is the glass half full or half empty? Yes, pun intended. Those topics and more, of course, we got my two hosts. We got, of course, the head of the GirlsLife.com studios, the man beast himself, CFO of Haters Corner, who has a new member, which we'll get into in a moment, Mr. Mike Rose.
The king of all documentaries. I've been watching so many documentaries, dude. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I know the nickname's coming upon us. I'll think of something. I know, Mike, I do want to thank you for making a bold sacrifice today, foregoing the Pro Bowl to join us here. So,
yes!
We know you are.
Let me tell you something. I could do like 45 minutes on that touch football game. But I'll pass.
Now the viewership has dropped down to one person. I don't know. Mike's not watching it, and of course we have another.
I think it's a half a person, really.
We got a straight from Houston.
One guy is making chicken wings at Buffalo Wild Wings right now, and the other guy is sleeping.
Chewy, what's up, brother?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? You ready to get a deep dive? We're going to do some counterpart today. Are you very excited?
I'm excited, dude.
I just want to tell you, I think you're great, Chewie.
Chewie's got the proverbial hard on right now,
Damn right, dude. You do too, man. You know it, man. Let's do this.
Everybody calm down, dude. So there's a lot of good stuff. Of course, we start with the bad. Get this out of the way. We got What the Fudge. And of course, What the Fudge is going to involve.
What the Fudge is that Pro Bowl?
that's beyond What the Fudge.
That's beyond What the Fudge.
But we have, I didn't know about this too recently, but Mike hired, a new vice president of Haters Corner. And of course, right. That comes in the form of one Leslie Jones, who recently had some
I know what you're
kind
talking
words
about.
To talk, who was spewing out that hate. Woo. Fast and Furious here in relation to the new Ghostbusters movie, which was announced recently coming out 2020. They had a little kind of quote-unquote trailer, I guess, for it.
I think the problem is she takes offense to the fact that they want to make a movie that'll actually make money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, but just to set it up here, so apparently she took to Twitter after the announcement, and I'll take a couple bits off the Twitter, and this is a quoting, of course. She writes, so insulting. Like, fuck us, we didn't count. It's like something Trump would do. It goes more than that. So I'm thinking, okay, Lacey Jones alluding to the fact that it has to go back to a male cast, and I guess who cares about the women? And Mike, you mentioned it. Listen, it came down to the fact that that movie was not good, and it lost money. I'm talking about her version of Ghostbusters.
They didn't just lose money, dude. They took a bath. That movie took a bath.
It did. So she makes it seem like all of a sudden that the movie could have been great, fine, I get it. But
movie was good, people would have went to see it. Okay,
it took a dumb bath financially. We had good movies that don't make money, but that's beside the point.
No, but it did. It got its ass whipped.
Because it's bad. She's hating. Got nothing to do, Leslie. It ain't because you're female. Trump, I don't know what the hell you're bringing him up.
Do you know what it is? Anytime anybody wants to say anything horrible about anything, they compare it to Trump. That's the dumbest shit ever.
He's like, dude, I mean, like him, I hate him, I get it, but dude.
If you don't like the guy, that's fine, I get it, but you know what? Don't stop comparing Trump to anything horrible. If you don't, the reason why they didn't bring you guys back for the next movie is because the movie blew. Nobody cared about it. The characters weren't interesting, and it sucked. Other than that, it was great.
Yeah, that was Peachy King. And I like Leslie Jones for the most part, but she's out of control here. I mean, I can see that the Trump got slime t-shirts coming out pretty soon because of this.
She's just, what she's trying to do is she's trying to get Trump to tweet about her directly. That's what this is.
Yeah, but it's just stupid. I mean, come on, man. I mean, she entered the realm of Luc Besson here, and that's not an easy thing to do, mind you.
Right.
Because it's yeah.
The next thing she's going to do is take shots at Marvel movies.
I would have preferred that, to be honest with you. I guess. I really would have. I mean, at least that kind of makes – at least it's movies. Trump has nothing to do – forget about Trump. Look, the movies suck. It's not insulting. No one's, telling the fuck you or the girls suck.
This isn't
with that at all.
This isn't it's a not shot about at them male, other female, than the fact that they made a shitty movie.
And for all we know, the next one could have women too. I don't know. They haven't made any announcement. They just announced the movie. That's all they've done. I think they mentioned it's going to be a a more of a sequel to the original. Guess the original couple. To Ghostbusters. The
second one, yeah. But I mean, okay. And honestly, do we really need any more Ghostbusters movies?
No,
not at all.
I mean, not like the second one, like raked it in hand over fist or anything. I mean, geez.
I would say this, that it just popped in my head. I'm thinking, okay, what would make this interesting? You know what? The Rock, Kevin Hart, maybe. You know, bring the.
I knew you were gonna say that, dude.
Bring in Jack Black, a little Jumanji action, just turns.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's
funny. Nobody wanted Jumanji when I came out.
Oh, that's just true. And look what they did with it. So,
I'm not gonna say, yeah, we don't need it. I get it.
In spite of Mike's hating, but it's all good.
Mike's hating.
I don't hate it, dude. It's just not a good movie.
It's a lot of hate there. It's very Leslie.
A lot of people will disagree with that.
It was. I'm not saying it's a great movie, Mike, but it was fine. It was funny.
It was just okay. It's like it's like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's just okay.
Oh wow, dude, man, oh man!
Forget Leslie Jones. What the fuck?
Just out, dude.
Watch you by Mike Rose from the Haters Club.
I just said it was okay. I didn't say it was bad. I didn't say I hated it.
Just don't bring Trump up with any of this stuff, okay?
I didn't say anything about Trump, President Trump. Sorry.
But either way, so Jones, take a hike. Let's move on to a more interesting topic.
Hey, can I bring something up to you before you move on?
Oh, yes.
Were you going to say anything about the second Shazam trailer?
Yes, yeah, so we're going to venture to the trailer park in a little bit.
Sorry, dude. I didn't know if you wanted to do that.
Among other trailer drop of the last couple of weeks. Yeah, we'll definitely do it. That's on the agenda.
Shit hot, sorry.
I think even Trump liked it. Hey-o. anyway. Let's get into the main discussion. Yeah, I've been kind of itching to talk about this for the last couple of weeks, of course.
And me that's too. I'm excited.
Glass is a movie which came out a couple weeks ago. We're going to get very spoilerific. It's been a couple weeks. I'm sure that most of you guys who wanted to see it has seen it already. If not, fast forward about 10 minutes or so. But this movie garnered a lot of attention, negative and positive.
Save your money.
Any M. Night movie does. So we want to get into it. We're going to get first off, and I'll start with Mike. Well, we'll start with Chewy, because I know Chewy's thoughts. As far as just keep it very general, we're going to get spoilerific in a minute.
Wasn't Mike there with you when you saw it? Did you know his thoughts?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't go. I had to back out.
Oh, he didn't go. Okay,
I saw it on Thursday night. It's okay.
It was a duo, not a threesome that night.
I had some work.
It's like, all right, fine.
Nobody wanted to go more than me, honestly, but I had some work.
The reviews have been bad. All over the road. Been all over the place. And we'll start with Chewy. I mean, you saw it. Just your general thoughts about it.
I enjoyed it, man. I mean, I was just got some issues, but a couple plot holes here and there. But I thought it was an enjoyable movie. I liked the twist at the end. And I don't see why anyone's making such a big deal that it's a bad movie. I mean, I don't see it. I like this.
Okay, Mike. I haven't talked to you about this. So
okay.
I'm kind of curious.
And that's a good thing. Okay, so let me just say this. The first three quarters of the movie, I was highly satisfied.
Okay.
Yeah.
The end sucked so bad. The end was piece of horse crap. The end was a road apple. It was the worst.
Wow, that bad. Okay, no, I get it. Listen,
it took a movie that I was close to giving 5 stars to and pushed it down to like 2.5.
Gee, whiz. Really?
You know what? I'm okay with that.
David
assessment.
Dunn dies in a freaking puddle? Because, really?
I mean, we'll get into all that. Well, I'll break it down in 3 different parts. But I mean, I said this when I reviewed the movie that I thought it's going to be a half and half here. I think half the people, it's either you buy the ending or you don't. It really comes for me. It came down to that. If you like the ending, the movie's good. I like the movie. And Lopez saw it with me. He enjoyed it as well. We didn't understand the negative reviews as much. Some things I didn't like.
Yeah.
It's a movie I wanted to love. I really wanted to love this movie.
I did too.
There's a couple
of
things that he could have done. I thought from an execution standpoint, I would have loved it. Would have been as good as Unbreakable still, but would have been pretty close. I like the ending though, so I overall like the movie. So I get Mike. I know what you're getting into. A lot of people complain about the ending, which I knew the minute I saw. I was like, yeah, it's just either you enjoy, either you fall into this journey that the story he's telling you, and you buy it, or you don't. It's that simple. So let's break it down. This movie it has an interesting structure. There's three arcs. It's kind of interesting because the first arc, the first 20 minutes, is David Dunn's movie.
Right.
Then the middle part is more like obviously the Horde, the Beast movie, and then we got Glass.
What's his name is like something Crumb, right?
Something Crumb. Yeah, last name Crumb. I forget his name. David Crumb. David. 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 No.
No, it's like something Howard Crumb. No, it's
David Dunn,
like,
and it's, and then Crumb is the Horde or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then obviously, you know, Elijah. So let's wait now. Let's start with the first 20 minutes here. With the first 15, 20 minutes, which I think focus on Dunn. And I know it's funny because another complaint, which I don't agree with, if people thought there wasn't enough of David Dunn in this movie. And to that, I'll say this. David Dunn, first of all, he's not an interesting character in the least. Right?
Agreed.
He's very bland, very subdued. You know, he is who he is. Unbreakable is great. Not because of David Dunn's character.
No, Unbreakable is great because of the glass.
It's his journey, his discovery.
Exactly. It's not the character himself. Right. So the fact that he didn't show him a lot, I am totally okay with it. And to me, that makes sense. But either way.
Yeah, because I saw some critics say that they would have preferred seeing an Unbreakable 2. I'm like, no, I wouldn't, man. I don't want to see 2 hours of David Dunn.
I agree.
I don't.
It wouldn't have been good. It wouldn't have been very.
I got enough to set it up to see, where he is now.
I agree with 2E2.
And inferred that he's been doing that for the last 20 years or whatever, but that's all I need.
Dude, which is great. I think what the movie sets up, it puts us back in his world. Okay, now what's been going on the last 19 years? Right. Oh, this guy's been doing what we thought he'd be doing.
He's got his
Batman. Okay. Yeah, his Batman Alfred thing going on. He's, you know, getting bad guys, and that's exactly what we thought he should have been doing to this point, which he was. Yeah. And obviously, he's going after the Beast, who obviously set up after Split. Made perfect sense. And I thought the whole section was really cool. I like the fight between them is really well shot. That worked a lot, very well for me. Mike, what do you think about this first 20?
I love the first three quarters of the movie. I thought that the movie, the first 20 minutes, I thought were really good. I thought they were expository. I thought it did what it needed to do. A lot of other people, another person that saw it with me said to me that he felt like that he felt like there was too much. They overexplained shit. And I absolutely 100% disagreed with them. I thought that the first part of the movie was excellent. I thought it was in the spirit of the first movie and of Split. I really
did. Yes, agreed. He kind of blended in before the movie took a turn to something different, which I still liked.
I'm just going to tell you, the last 15 minutes of that movie, I honestly, when I left the theater and my wife looked at me and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna drive off the road. I was so...
Did your wife like it?
No.
Out of curiosity.
No.
She liked it. Because of the end or just the whole thing?
The whole thing. She didn't like that. Okay, she didn't understand it because she didn't see Unbreakable. So it's understandable.
It's a prerequisite to this movie. You can't watch
it. No. What am I going to do? Am I going to make her watch a movie before we go to a movie? It's stupid.
No, I got to watch it. Okay, so the first one is a fine. And now we get to the second part. Now we get into the part with the psychiatric hospital, whatever you call it. We got Sarah Paulson's character now. And I guess she's trying to convince these three guys that they're not really heroes.
I love that segment of the movie.
I thought it was cool. A lot of people thought it was cool.
I did too. A lot of people were bitching about it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was good too. It's a big part of people's saying it's too slow. It slows down. It slows down, but
no. I wanted to feel like it wasn't real. That's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to I got what he was doing there. I got it.
No, I did too. And I didn't mind the pace because this pace is Unbreakable. I love it. It's a slow, very methodical paced movie. It really is. So it's in the vein of that. So I don't have a problem with it. If you have a problem with the Unbreakable, you have a problem with this movie, obviously, for obvious reasons. But that was really cool. I liked that she's trying to convince these guys. That made sense to me. And they were kind of buying into it. And I love the reasons she came up with the whole thing with the bars and the shotgun shells. And she threw all this stuff. And all the dirt in this guy's pants. That's what he kind of figured. He put two and two together when he's finding the hoard. That worked for me. The whole section worked for me. This McAvoy is awesome.
I just think he...
Damn right.
I would have rather see him get nominated for an Oscar instead of friggin' Remy Malek. I thought he did a wonderful job. I thought it was... He was excellent. I really do. I thought he did some amazing
shit. He was great. He's great. I'm not here to compare one to the other, but he's fantastic. He was great in the first one. He was amazing in the first one. He was just as good at this one. Better in this one. To any issues with that second part, with anything with the hospital, anything, how that went...
No, man. Like I said, I learned the first part and I enjoyed the second part. I didn't mind it being slow, honestly. I really didn't.
I didn't either. Not
everything 100%. Has to go 100 miles per hour and throw it in my face and, oh, okay. No,
the first movie.
He subverts a lot of expectations here, Shyamalan does, because going into it, this first 20 minutes is what I think people thought you were going to get the whole movie, right? This is a superhero movie. You're going to see that through a whole 150 minutes, whatever, how long the movie is. he kind of changes gears and he becomes something completely different, which is what we expect. I mean, Unbreakable
was a superhero story, not a superhero movie.
Exactly. There's some issues with some stuff that was being said, and I'll get to that now because, I mean, it's M. Night, and then I'm talking to Jose about this. He's a great, he creates great ideas for stories, mm-hmm. right? He's not a great writer.
He has a problem with execution.
He's up and down. Exactly, he's up and down. Sometimes it hits like Unbreakable, Sixth Sense. I get it. Most of the time he doesn't, and it's because I think
I felt the same way with Split.
Yeah. The dialogue is not great. It's a little stilted. It's okay. It's almost laughable at times. He doesn't give the audience enough credit because this is the thing that really annoys me. And it happened the whole movie, particularly the third act. He just over-explains everything, and he's hammering. He's as subtle as a sledgehammer, hammering down. This is not a comic. We're in the comics. This is what happens. We're in the comics. This is the part where we don't need to know that. We can infer what's going on. Oh, everyone knows these tropes now, superhero movies. We've seen dozens of them over the last 10 years, 19 years. We know this villain's teaming up. We know all this stuff. We don't need it to be explained, have it someone narrative with dialogue saying, oh, this is a scene where, okay, great, thanks. And it gets annoying. It's really annoying. It kind of takes you out of the movie because we're smarter than that. We know exactly what's going on. Any superhero fan knows what's going on. So that was annoying, but whatever. The third act here. This is the big one. This is Mike. So, first of all, I know Chewie liked the ending, right? Any issues with the ending? Before I chime in and Mike gets in.
No. Because like I said, I had no issues with the ending whatsoever. The twist that it took and what it was all about. No.
Okay, I love the idea of the ending, but maybe backtrack. I like the idea. I don't mind them dying. I don't might get a problem with them. I don't got a problem with them dying.
I just felt like it was stupid. That's all I felt like. I didn't have a problem with the story itself. I had a problem with how the execution, like you said, the execution I felt was shit. I felt like killing him in a mud puddle against just a guy, some fucking guy. I thought that was stupid. I was okay with that. You did?
Yeah, I mean, it. I mean, this is
like. Who killed him, bro? Nobody killed him. It was like.
His kryptonite.
Exactly.
That's his kryptonite. Exactly. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
And no, that was stupid. That was stupid.
Superhumans, not superheroes.
Exactly. This is a hero movie grounded in reality, right? So, exactly. To him to die in a puddle of water makes sense because he was already weaker because he just was in a big tank for whatever long period of time. He hadn't recovered yet. And here comes this guy and that's his weakness. That's what it is. So I didn't have a problem with that. I know a lot of people didn't. I get it.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the group of people that the secret society of people who don't like superheroes and you know, it just to me it was like I was like, really, bro?
Okay,
they created more superheroes at the end, but they don't want to do another movie. But it's like, oh my god, I want to shoot myself in the face.
Let's back up. In terms of what I loved, Glass's plan, right? I loved the idea of him completing his purpose, right? Yes. He was there. I mean, because remember, in the very first movie, it was all about himself. He didn't care about David Dunn. He just wanted David Dunn to be this hero so he can justify who he is.
Right.
He wanted to be. He thought he was a villain. He thought it was a mistake. He's not a mistake. He's actually a villain because of this. So here, halfway through, he discovers that he ended up killing, whatever the guy's name, the horse father in the train, right. The same train ride as Bruce Willis was in, and inadvertently he he's in a mindset that he creates heroes. That's what he does. That's his real purpose. So he devises a plan. I love that part, and then discovering that hey. He fulfilled it. He sacrificed himself because he wanted to create. He was a creator of heroes. He was a mastermind.
He created them both. Yeah.
There was just too many levels. I felt like it was too. It was too. I don't know, man. It was just too.
Like, I like that part.
Too connected.
Too many levels. Too many.
That's good though.
It's good for you and me and somebody else. But I just felt like it was stupid.
Get a fire extinguisher.
Hose him down. I honestly didn't mind that. I like the idea of it, that plan that him ultimately saying, you know what, my job's here to show heroes to the world, to expose them, right? Which I thought was good. Now, the secret society thing, I'm with you. I'm half and half on that. Chewie, did you like that part, that aspect of it? With this whatever organization and then knew about them and
right. Keeping them it was just so stupid. It was.
Well,
it was...
I mean, if we take a step back and kind of you know look at what the story is trying to portray, right? And like oh, that all of a sudden that he would be the first one to come out of nowhere, or the fact that they'd been around but they'd been suppressed for whatever reason to prevent even a greater calamity of once you, when kind of like we've just seen in some of the other superheroes, so more superheroes show up and all of a sudden it becomes mass pandemonium, essentially. It's a free-for-all.
Exactly. Right? And I like that because that,
that's what I was like, okay, I understand their purpose. I understand what they did. So it wasn't like they were trying to off them and kill them. I mean, they could easily, okay, pull the trigger and it's like, you're actually call it an accident, done, wash your hands, we're out, you know? And so that's an easy out, you know. That's piss poor writing.
Well, agreed. And I liked it's just part of with the ending, which I thought if he executed just right, the deals were fine. The organization, because we've seen that it's like Hydra and Shield to say the least.
Yeah.
This idea Shadows. That you know, suppressing them. We've seen that things like an X-Men, right? That you know, but you know, exposing them, you know, tagging them so we know who they are, because obviously, yeah, escalation occurs. And it can be it's great to have heroes, but it's also terrible to have villains, and that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
So I understand that, and that was fine. My issue with that is that should not have been a reveal at the end of the movie. If we'd have known that early on, and then we're watching this doctor trying to suppress him, because this movie has no antagonist for the most part. It's not Glass, right, for the most part.
I don't know if I want that information before. I don't know because it kind of deflates.
Follow me. Because they say the zone is there, we know it, and Mr. Glass knows it, right? Now his plan becomes even better because he's not just trying to expose that there's heroes out there and make the world enlightened to what's out there. He's saying it's an FU to this organization who was trying to keep them down. If he would have known that, this plan would have been even better because now it's a middle finger to them at the same time completing his plan. And that's the antagonist is having her, Paulson, who's sitting there, which will make more sense, her trying to suppress these people's powers. And they're not a bad per se, but the fact that she doesn't want these heroes exposed. And that's what Glass wants, right? And that's not clear.
Yeah, to a certain degree, yeah.
And that's not clear to the very end. I thought that reveal of him revealing to the world, having that satisfying ending, the Thanos-like ending where the bad guy wins, so to speak, would have made more sense, I thought, personally, if we had known that. Because it threw so much at the end there. It was like you couldn't process it.
No, it was a lot. It was a lot to
that's
to,
what
to
I'm
take
saying.
In, to kill them off and, you know, it's, hold my hand and kind of figure out, oh, that you're like, oh, shit, and then, like, oh, shit again. You know, so two old shits at the end. Exactly. But I'm not sure I agree that would have made it. I don't know. I don't think that would. I don't believe that would have made it a better movie. And maybe it could have been presented in a different way because the whole point is he doesn't know anything about this organization. All he thinks is that she's just trying to convince him that he's not special. That he's not or more David Dunn and the Hard that they're not special. Well, they're not superhuman.
Well, those two guys don't know. But Glass knowing would have made him. Coming out with this plan even more ingenious.
Because he even at the end, he doesn't know. He didn't know.
Exactly. Well,
she told him that, and so she confessed to him as he's on his deathbed, whatever.
And that time, but it's meaningless because what does that mean to him? He's dead. His plan's accomplished. And it's not, and what if he said, oh, I knew that all along.
Because he was proceeding to let it out regardless.
Exactly my point. So you could have taken either take that away unnecessarily because his plan nothing to do with him. What if that wasn't there? It would have been probably even better because the ending would have been cleaner. It would have been less cluttered, which is my issue with the execution. Or if you're going to put him in there, fine, put him in there and have him know about it. Then his plan, again, is not only – he's got that obstacle to overcome while also trying to accomplish his goal. He's a mastermind. He just looked into the fact. He got lucky that that's an organization there and he threw them in the finger out there unintentionally as opposed to doing it on purpose. But and that's what Glass would have done. He would have done that on purpose as a mastermind.
The second that he finds out, they got to kill him.
Well, right.
If they know that he knows, then they gotta kill him.
That's why he's on the pills. That's what happens, suppressing some dude and all that. That's they don't kill anybody. That's not what they're trying to do.
No, but he doesn't know at that point. He doesn't know until the end. So as I'm saying, if he finds out, if someone finds out, they're gone.
Right, but he could have known. He's Mr. Glass, team. I'm saying, and it would have been believable. This is still, you know, first name, Mister.
Mr. Glass, Mr. Motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so again, that part of the execution, even the ending with the train station, I didn't like that little thing in the end. I thought it was, okay. It just, a bigger impact because it was a scene where he's talking about, you know, his plan or whatever, and his mm-hmm. voiceover. Mm-hmm. And he's saying it's time to reveal everyone to the world the truth. So, I'm paraphrasing on those lines. Right. Yeah. Then we could end it right there. Now the world knows the truth. Poof, done.
Or even better, with the ring or beeping or whatever, you know, notifications on your phone.
Something. Exactly. Oh, shit. That would have been great. He lost. The end was unnecessary. Or the people in the hospital would have made sense, seen him, and they just start using the powers along those lines because that's why they're in the hospital with them. Remember, she kept saying, "Don't let them get him out of the windows."
But that was because they weren't special. I know what I'm saying,
but how cool would it have been if that they were all special?
If one of them or two had powers in there or something,
right? The organization knew about it, and she was keeping them all in there. All the who knew they had powers, they were there. They couldn't kill them. That's not the job. They're just suppressing them. Made them think they're crazy or whatever. That would have been cool. You see what I'm saying? Let's talk about the execution, about having good writing and setting that up from the beginning. Because if you knew that that was the organization, how cool would it have been? Oh, shit, everyone else was a superhero too. And that you get something you're not really thinking about until the very end. That's what I'm talking about. That's why his writing, sometimes he kind of loses focus. And that's what it is. And I get why people, Mike, I understand where you come from. I do. I get it. Either you like it or don't. I understand that.
I'm not saying that I didn't like the movie. I just felt like
Right. The ending took steam.
The ending kind of screwed it up for me. That's all.
Oh, yeah, this movie. I mean, but actually, this movie would have been amazing. It could have been amazing, and that's a shame. But for me, I still like the ending enough. Some things here and there, dialogue, yada yada. I get it, fine. But I'm fine with that. But some of the complaints I hear, people complain about, you know, the whole building thing. Before I saw the movie, people kept mentioning this. I saw some reviews, and even people who liked this came that they thought it was dumb that he kept mentioning that building that was being constructed, the solar panels, and the big showdown coming. You know, teasing it, and back as they never got there, I'm like, that wasn't the point. Right. He was never supposed to get there. That was just something that he used as motivation to get Horde on board and to get David Dunn on board because he needed them to fight outside. That was the point. He needed David Dunn at his maximum, right? So create this quote-unquote situation where he's going to blow people in the building to get them to believe in himself again and escape and have that. It wasn't about the building. People complain about it. I'm like, okay, that's not the point. We don't want to see that typical quote-unquote fight finale that you see in every other superhero movie. We don't want to see that. We've seen that 1,000 times, and that movie is not geared towards that. So, whatever. Overall, I was fine with it. I wish it would have been just I wanted greatness out of it, and I was hoping that's there. And there's like a 3-hour cut. I'm kind of curious to see that cut, to see what's in there. But nonetheless, it's Shyamalan, and it's always gonna be divisive. It is what it is. It's the first big movie of the year, so obviously we gotta get into it, and we'll probably do another one with Captain Marvel or something. But along the lines, I got a quick little thing for you guys because I have a good conversation with Jose, M. Night, where he's having kind of this resurgence, this movie notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that he had the worst streak of any director in the history of directors.
That is true.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, we have The Village, I still kind of liked, but I won't put that. But Lady in the Water, Happening, Airbender, and After. I mean, they were just... Oh, no, just meh, bad. And they were awful movies.
Was that his director? That wasn't written by him.
Which one?
The Last Airbender?
I think he just directed it.
He just directed it.
Okay. How about After Earth?
And that's the fourth one. So he had four, like, horror movies. And
it was kind of funny. I saw an article kind of about that movie, actually, on Sci-Fi.
don't say anyone liked it. So say it's misunderstood. It's garbage.
It was kind of a headline. It was kind of like it was unfairly, dumped on. I'm like, whatever, I saw an article, that's all I'm saying, it's straight garbage because
we're looking it up. There's been directors who had worse streaks, but no one who was up so high after the first three movies and then gave us garbage after that. We never seen that fall from grace before. So I was thinking, let's do the opposite. So I went through some lists here, and this took some time because I was talking to Jose about it. We're just kind of throwing names out. Who had the best 4 movie streak in the history? So There's a lot of people like Fincher and Scorsese, Carpenter, Tarantino came close, gave us 3, then like another good one. It had to be 4 in a row. That was the key here. Really? 4 in a row. So these are the ones that I came up with, a 3 good to great movies, 4 great to great movies in a row consecutively. So we have, and I want you guys to choose which one had the best run. Okay. So I have Rob Reiner here, surprisingly enough. He had Stand By Me, Princess Bride. I know Mike doesn't like it, but his movie's great, When Harry Met Sally, and Misery. You had Hitchcock with Birds.
You know, he also directed, by the way, he also directed Spinal Tap 2, which is an amazing movie that came out before
came out before the other ones, but it wasn't. He had a bad one in between, so I obviously can't count that.
Okay.
We had Hitchcock, Birds, North by Northwest, Psycho, Vertigo. Coppola had a Conversation, good movie, not many people have seen it. Godfather 1 and 2, Apocalypse Now. Spielberg, Raiders, E.T., Temple of Doom, Color Purple. Wow. Cameron, The Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, T2, or Take Terminator, I'll put True Lies after that, whatever.
Wow.
And Nolan, Batman Begins, Prestige, Dark Knight, and Inception. So those are the big ones that I found that I had. The only ones that I found that actually had four great movies consecutively. So
how about Zemeckis? I think Zemeckis did too, dude.
Which one?
Zemeckis.
I looked at Zemeckis. He didn't have four in a row.
He didn't have four in a row.
Yeah, he had three, not four. I had Zemeckis as an honorable mention.
Did he do like two or three Back to the Future? Well, but Back to the Future 3 wasn't good, though.
I like three. I didn't like two. Two is okay. Three is better. Yeah. But even still, but two is not a great movie. Like, this
but
had to
Gump
be
is huge.
Good to great. Yeah. So Zemeckis was close, but he didn't quite hit the So out of that list, we got Nolan, Spielberg, Coppola, Hitchcock, Cameron, or Reiner. Who had the best? Who went streaking here?
The quad.
I got it.
Go ahead. Mike.
Cameron. Who had the tough? Nolan.
Nolan. Okay. So Begins, Prestige, Dark Knight, Inception. Chewie? Yeah.
You know, that's what because we first started that was the first name that popped in my head, and I'm glad you verified he had four good one in a row. I'm going, I think it's, you know, it's Cameron or Nolan, but I think I'm leaning Nolan.
I would love to say Nolan, but I got to go Cameron here. Okay. I mean,
I can't fault you for that.
Good, no, I mean Aliens 2.
It's close.
Aliens 2 and Judgment Day are both excellent.
I mean, they're great. I mean, even if you want to take it, the Terminator is a classic. And he has both of them in there.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The Abyss is not good, though.
The Abyss is great. I mean, if you want to take the first name, put Chula. I love Chula's. But man, it's close, man. But I'll probably lean towards Cameron because I think he had more commercial classics. I'm not saying they're better than Nolan's movies because they're not, but just in terms of just.
Yeah, because I don't think the percentage was a commercial success.
I think if you didn't have the conversation there, it would have been
Inception was, and what was the other one that was in there?
Dark Knight and the first Batman.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Those two, yeah. So I think the Prestige one, I think, had the commercial success.
They didn't have the ones. Yeah, right. I think Cameron had both. He had success as far as the acceptance.
Yeah, those were all summer blockbuster movies, man. I mean,
The first time it wasn't, but it was well received. But again, it's considered a classic. It was one of the best sci-fi movies when it came out that year and all that. So it's close. I mean, Spielberg's there, but The Color Purple, I liked it. But I mean, it's Raiders, E.T., and Temp. I mean, that's pretty good. That's not bad. These are all great. But yeah, I think for me, Cameron. So we got two Nolans, one Cameron. That's fair. I'm not, like I said,
I would say, you know what, though, dude? I would say Coppola if the conversation wasn't part of that. If it was just three, if you said three, Coppola would win by a country mile.
If it was just three, I could make an argument for Spielberg, who I think had three, and then he didn't act. I think it was Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, and something else. I have to look it up. That's not bad, dude.
But Coppola,
come on, dude.
But
three
Godfather
is too easy. Three
would have
been like 50,000 people.
And Apocalypse Now is really strong.
I know, man. We're not looking for triples. We're looking for home runs.
We're going home runs, exactly. Triples are great.
No, I'm just saying. Because you can't put four with
even Scorsese.
You score or you don't, dude. You don't stop on third.
The problem with Scorsese is
Johnny.
Scorsese's super streaky, as he'll do two
he
big ones.
He had two or three, then one bad, then two or three. But again, he couldn't get the fourth one, in my opinion, fourth great movie in a row. It's not an easy task to do. These four or five guys I got with one of the only ones who I saw had this kind of streakiness in that had these four great movies in a row. And that's no easy task. Conversely, I don't think anybody had
five. Anyone with five?
What was this? Was the four you picked out for Scorsese?
Yeah, I know. That I was thinking with the Interstellar, right? That was the next one after that.
Yeah, and before that, he had Insomnia. Good movies. Insomnia, I loved Interstellar. Insomnia was good. I'm not saying it's great, so it's hard. I couldn't. Well, I mean, it'd be Cameron who'll be on with the five if we're gonna put July's in there. July is a great movie for what it is. It's a great action, summer comedy, action comedy. So he'd be the one, obviously. So yeah, but that's good. So interesting. I just thought about that. It'd be kind of cool to go. So before we get to a whole lot of TV talk, we'll do one quick run through the trailer park. A lot of good stuff came out. Some good stuff came out. Let's start with what I thought was the best one. And of course, that's the boogeyman here. John Wick 3, baby. Yeah.
On horseback.
God, on horse, baby. With swords and motorcycle. Dude, Oh, talk about hard on. Can't wait. I'm so excited about this
one. It's going to be good.
Relax, man.
I love this. I love the trailer, dude. I love the trailer. I thought it was great. And not listen. We all know John Wick's a badass. If it wasn't clear in the first two movies, it's clear now, because I don't think anybody on this planet could walk through the Sahara still wearing his dark suit, dude. I mean, come on, dude. To survive that? I mean, I sound like, God, he's still wearing his suit in the Sahara. That's the man right there. That's
you gotta look
legend.
Good. You gotta look good when you kick ass, dude.
Yeah. Watch, traversing through scorpions and whatever. He looked good. What do you guys think of the trailer?
Loved it.
I thought it was a fight.
That's what you gotta say, man. Loved it. Next.
Mike, did you?
Mike there.
I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, okay, good. I mean, that. I love the scene with the dogs in the end. That was awesome. That was awesome. I hope they don't kill no dogs in this movie, though. I mean, we all know. I think it's pretty clear you don't kill John Wick's dogs or whoever's dogs you're associated with, so I don't think they're going to die. Cause
stupid Theon Greyjoy.
Typical. Typical Reek, dude. Look at Reek cause. Look at the mayhem he's caused because he killed a dog. We're looking at the – it's funny. We had a bunch of us at work going lunch, and we're talking about the body count. And we were talking like, oh, dude, we got to over on the bet. He kills 100 right. people in this movie. Which is probably going to kill 150. At least it's going to – everyone's dying in this movie right now. But, man, because the stupid dog, I think they did a count. You two, we saw. I think the first one was 80-something. The second one was over 100.
Okay.
So, now this is going to be over 100, I guess, easily. It's going to be like 300 people have to bite it because it killed a little puppy, dude. Stupid Theon. God, Greek. He sucks, dude. but I can't wait. I'm super excited about that. The next one was Spider-Man. That one dropped as well last couple weeks ago. We haven't talked about that. So, Mike, you're the, you know, the in-house Marvel hater, more or less. Did you like what you saw here?
Not really, no. It was okay. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm a big Jake Gyllenhaal guy. It's just it's a little unrealistic. I mean.
You say unrealistic?
I know. A couple of things. Okay, a couple of things bug me about this first.
Like?
First of all, they haven't really – there hasn't been a resolution yet for Avengers. So that's kind of a huge fucking spoiler, right? So that's
yes and
a
no.
problem.
Yes and
I don't know, man. Like, maybe the movie will be good. I don't know.
Should we?
Dude, take my money, man. You have to ask.
I thought it was okay. Yes. I didn't
they had me at Marvel, dude. Come on.
Well, no one says that I'm going to take you guys' money and watching for free. No one's saying I'm taking your guys' money. But it was good.
The tradition of good Marvel trailers, good, wholesome Marvel movies, dude.
No, it was good. I mean, it was no John Wick, but
it was just okay.
It was good. It was a solid trailer. I didn't like Jenny Hall's look and the costume. That's just me. I know it's, you know, whatever. That's not a huge deal. But it's fine. You know, I mean, you're right. I mean, again, it's not spoiled. We knew Spider-Man wasn't going to die anyway. Let's not kid ourselves. The only thing I didn't...
Not dead, boys and girls.
It made it seem like the events of Avengers never happened based off that trailer, right? That the world is...
Well, I mean, it's hard to walk a fine line when you have that kind of movie and then, like, you still have to advertise for...
That's my
everything
point,
else
though.
Beyond it.
That's well, my I know.
Point. The only way to resolve that is show
aren't
no
they,
trailer,
haven't
show
they
nothing,
said
and,
since
and
Chewy? Chewy, I'm going to stop you.
Come July 5th, come watch Spider-Man. Good luck.
Listen, they've been saying since the beginning.
I agree. I get it. It's Sony's movie. And Sony is like, hey, there's no way we're marking this movie without Spider-Man. It's not going to happen. So I get that. I get it. And I have no choice. I'm just saying it kind of takes the air out of it. It's just... Again, I mean, we saw.
Don't they
know,
say?
Isn't
Feige said since the beginning they're all about the continuity, right? We're all about building a bigger story here, and then they come out with a trailer and just fuck up the bigger story. That's not true.
We don't know that. We don't know until we see them. They could have shown us the end, the beginning. Who knows what they showed us at the end of the day? I didn't like to see Nick Fury there. I could have done without that because I want to see Spider-Man movie just about Spider-Man. I don't need. The Avengers in there. This is a Spider-Man movie. Let's keep it that way. You know, it just, I mean.
No, Iron Man, relax.
I'm just saying. It happened before Iron Man, which I was fine with because they introduced him. I get it. But now we don't need anybody else. Spider-Man is the man, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. It just is nitpicking. The next one here, sticking with the superhero theme here, is Mikey alluded to earlier with Shazam. We got some, I don't know if it was a full trailer. It was like a, you know, I guess extra seat footage, whatever, TV spot, whatever.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah, whatever it was. Mike, did you like this more than Spider-Man?
I liked it even better. I thought it looks really good. I think it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I love the balancing the humor. And the action looked very Man of Steel-esque.
Exactly, but in a good way, though. Not too dark.
Yeah,
That's what I like, is it's not dark.
Man of Steel. No, no, it looks good, man. It looks like it's super entertaining. Right. I mean,
looks 100% funny, agree. Looks yeah, home
I'm,
run.
I'm glad Shazam got over Mrs. Maisel and moving on with his life. That's you know, good. I know it's the breaking
we don't
up.
We don't know that yet. We left off Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel doesn't
know, what's going on, dude.
I know, but we can infer that, you know, it's like an endgame thing. We know what's going to happen.
By the way, I love that commercial.
He's back, you know.
It's Shazam.
He's over it. He's Shazam now. He don't need her. He can get anybody he wants. So, good for him. Good for him. And the last one here, sticking again with the superhero theme here, is The Umbrella Academy, a Netflix show coming out involving this X-Men-esque kind of Watchmen kind of thing, I guess. I'm not really sure how to describe it. Did you guys like
it? Well, there was two trailers. We got The Umbrella Academy, but then we also got The Boys, which is the Prime, Amazon Prime one.
It did. That one didn't show a whole lot in that one. I mean,
it's a tease. It was the first teaser.
It was a teaser. That's why I was like,
I enjoyed the heck out of that.
I want to see a full trailer. But The Umbrella, we got a full trailer for The Umbrella Academy. We got the idea of the tone, the characters, what pretty much is the basis of the story. Did you guys like what you saw there?
Yeah, I did. I liked like both, actually.
Yeah, I like both too.
I like The Umbrella. I mean, the other one, it was whatever. It was too early to tell. But The Umbrella looked funny. Looked like it's going to be interesting. Like the whole time thing, which I'm always
a little bit different
with time travel. Yeah. But it's Netflix, so hopefully it's a little more mature. It looked good though. I'm super interested. I really want to see that. I'm kind of curious what they do with that. So that's good. So that's, you know, something exciting. And sticking with Netflix here because, man, Netflix, man, they're back to the old tricks here. With the movies, they had a good streak of movies. Not TV show, they come down, but the movies, man. So I saw a couple. I saw Io, which is a no-go. Terrible.
Yeah, I was bored. I was bored to tears. And I just put it on because I'd finished watching everything. I was like, what the hell?
No,
and I'm like,
it's not good. It's just boring, Matt, man. It's like,
stick with the Falcon, please.
It made Roma look like Shazam. It was just, and Roma's a boring one. It's just not good. It's just not good.
I love that. That's a great line.
And we had the other one I saw, which I was really excited about because I liked the trailer a lot. That's, of course, with Mads Mikkelsen as starring in Polar.
Yeah, Polar. Sorry.
Did anybody see that?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, dude, take it off the list, dude.
Is it bad?
It's
not on my list.
It's it looked like a John Wick esque kind of thing. Okay, I'll dig. I like a good action movie.
I love this guy.
Dude, this movie is so laughably bad. And that's bad. It's laughably bad, dude. It's horrendous. The worst characters. Mads is great. He's always good. Everything else around him is awful, which made me think if this movie's on Netflix, how bad is Holmes and Watson? Not to be able on this, because if it's worse than Polar, it's really bad. It's laughable. It's awful, 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 awful. Avoid both of those movies. I didn't even see the Close or whatever that one's called because I couldn't take three bad movies in a row from Netflix. I couldn't do it.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Yeah, it's the one with that guy who was in the original.
Oh, yes. He's the female bodyguard, right? Yes.
Yeah. I think it's Closer or Close. I don't know, whatever.
Close.
I'm like, I can't do it. It ruined it. I know, you know what? No, I'm not doing it. So, oh, man, it's so bad. But let's stick with the Netflix here because Netflix has been dropping tons of stuff. And let's start with the big one, The Punisher.
Yes.
Finally came out, which I've seen like, I think I'm four or five in. Mike, you started watching it?
Two in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm four, I'm five. Actually, I'm six in.
Okay. So I'm four. So what are you guys thinking so far? We're not going to get spoiler with this, but what do you guys think?
It's not as good as season one.
Okay.
And I think because.
It's a tall order.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to match.
Season one is
really
freaking good. It's on a lot of levels.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard to.
Good. It's not as good as one, but I think we obviously I'm five episodes in, and so there's no clear antagonist.
It's a little unfocused with that. I'll give you credit for that. But I mean, it's early, so whatever. It's more action.
Oh, I'm almost halfway through the season. I mean, it's not early.
Well, you're right. Yeah,
I mean, you got to introduce it early. I mean, this isn't Daredevil where you know you didn't see it. You didn't see. The Fisk until episode four, really in person anyway. You heard him, but
right.
Here
no,
it's
you're
like,
right. You're right. Yeah, I'm wondering for you're more in an and you're right. It's a little unfocused with that. It's not as heavy because the last one dealt with the PTSD and all that, and that was great. Right.
Yeah.
But this is more of an action. It's got more action to it, which is great. I mean, mostly,
I like it. I love it.
Punisher kick ass. Hell yeah, he kicks ass. That's what he does. We want to see that, of course. Mike, thoughts?
That's what he loves to do.
Oh, exactly.
Okay, he so. First of all, the Jigsaw thing, I don't know how you feel about it, Chewie. I think it's too soon to bring him back, and I felt like he was too pretty.
he's still too pretty.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah. You talk about the mask. Yeah.
Well, Mike, have you seen him without the mask yet?
Yeah, I have seen him without the mask.
Obviously, okay. He has. Yeah, so it's not scarred.
It's not as bad as I thought.
He's got some scars, but it's not a complete.
He's not Jigsaw like the comic book
disfigurements.
I was expecting that. They're kind of hinting at it, and he took his mask. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Right. Scarface. Right. That's like Tyrion Lannister's scar, right?
Okay, fine. What happened?
I said it's like Tyrion Lannister's scar. In the books, he's supposed to be like.
Oh, that one actually lost part of his nose, and it's across the face, and so I was kind of
hoping to see that with this, but whatever. I mean, yeah, I think
they probably could have.
They could have waited for the third season, which is never going to happen. So I guess I'd do it now. I don't know, but it's good. It's really good. It's not bad. We'll get more heavy into it down the road.
It's not horrible so far. It's kept my interest. No. It's just
exactly, and it's if you like action, it's a good watch. I saw what else came out. The Ted Bundy one I saw, the documentary.
Have you seen the whole thing? Because I saw a little bit of the first episode. So
yeah, I saw the whole thing. It's good. It's good. It pretty much chronicles the events of that. I mean, I was too young to really know exactly what was going on at the time. Or Mike, you were there and you were experiencing from, you know, someone from the outside.
Actually, I was around. That was my time.
He was like in his 30s.
No, I wasn't. I was in my 20s. Stop that.
Oh, 29. But I mean, he was old enough to remember the hoopla surrounding the Ted Bundy, and people were freaking out, and the whole escape from jail a couple of times, and all that stuff. It's interesting. It's very good. I like that. It's a good watch, especially if you're not familiar with the whole story and what happened with him. I wish we would have gone a little bit deeper with the tapes, because the whole thing about the tapes of Ted Bundy, and you know, they play some stuff from the excerpts from the tapes, but not a lot. But it's good. It's worth watching. It's interesting. I know the movie's coming out. I saw a trailer with the guy. What's this guy's name? Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Yeah.
Who I heard is really good. The showcase in Sundance, I heard he's great. Yeah, good for him. So, but it's good. That's a good watch. The other one is The Kingdom. Yes. This is one I was excited for. Man, this is good. This is really good. The Kingdom is a Korean show. Mm-hmm. And it's a period piece, I guess. And it's with zombies. So it's a different take on a zombie thing. It takes about an episode and 3/4 for it to really get into the zombie stuff. So you got to kind of be patient with it. Still good, but be patient with it. But when it kicks in, it kicks in. It's great. The beginning of the third episode is phenomenal. The first 20 minutes are fantastic. It's really good, man. It looks beautiful. Amazingly shot. It's actually a really good watch. Mike, you're more into zombie things than Chewie's. But it's really good. And there's not like zombies like Walking Dead. These are more like 28 Days Later kind of zombies. Yeah, so it's moving really fast.
I like the twist on it a little, you know.
Exactly, yeah. It's really cool. It starts off as these clans, you know, they're kind of they're rival clans or whatever in the house of the king, he's dying, all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden it just changes gears to the zombie thing. He's like, whoa, okay, it's not, you know, nice. It's really cool. So it's a good balance between both of them. Really good show, man. I can't wait. I'm episode 3 in. It's, I think, 26. Great stuff.
26 episodes.
Yeah, so I'm halfway through. It's a really good watch. It looks fantastic. The other one is, Mike, you mentioned a couple. I don't know documentaries, Mike. I'll give the floor to you. Yes. You mentioned two that you saw.
I saw the Innocent Man, which I thought was pretty good, but Chewie didn't like it so much. He said it was boring, which is fine. But
it was boring, dude. I mean, I'm sure the book was better, but it was not done. You know, if you're gonna make take a book and turn it into a documentary, you got to make it interesting and worthwhile. And this was not. I mean, they actually did a disservice with this documentary. And
I think they were trying to go for
it's shameful.
What the making of a murder type of thing, and it was interesting enough because a guy actually went to prison for a long time. Two guys went to prison for a long time for this murder, and they were absolutely 100% not guilty. And sucks.
It's two different cases. Four guys.
Two different unrelated cases, and I think that's where you're getting like.
Maybe not unrelated. Obviously, maybe they are related. Who knows? I mean,
I think they're unrelated in that the same guy didn't do both murders. What is related is that both folks may have had some kind of association with the Ada Police Department in Oklahoma. That's what I think.
I mean, yeah. So, you guys have two different opinions about this. I'm not sure if I should watch it or not.
I thought it was good.
I would just read the book.
I will agree with Chewie that it's ponderous. It is ponderous.
Okay, so that kind of is a little bit of a turnoff, right. To say the least. What about the other one, Mike? You said you saw it was the Friday.
I actually saw a couple of good ones. I saw one about the Fire Festival, which was
that one. Yes.
Oh,
whatever it is.
I recommend to watch it because it's so funny. I mean,
I want to see it. It looks wacky.
It's like you know what it is. It's like a millennial-orama. And if you enjoy watching millennials epic fails, then you're gonna love the hell out of that.
Yeah, this is the one where I think was Ja Rule and his business partner or something.
Ja Rule and some guy named Billy McFarland, and it's freaking hilarious. It's not hilarious, haha. It's hilarious just watching them how they think that they could just make things happening by saying that they're gonna happen.
And I want to say I actually heard some good things about it. So I want to catch you. I'll watch it this week. I'll talk about it next week. And what was the other one, Mike? You said you had one more?
There's a 2020 that I saw about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, which was really, really good. It came out last week, and it's really good.
Haven't heard that name in a long time. Jeez.
It's called Unfaithfully Yours.
Okay, yeah, again, Mike was in his 30s in that time for sure.
Yeah, for
I grew up on that nonsense.
Exactly,
because my parents are.
Amen.
Yeah, you can connect to him more because again, you lived through it.
It is. I'm gonna tell you, dude. That is, my wife is like, you should watch this. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. And she made me sit through it. It was very good. It was a lot of fun.
It's fair because you make a shit to a lot of crap.
All I remember from that clown, that ass hat, a pair of ass hats, was him breaking down on TV, crying to crocodile tears.
I remember that.
And give me a check for $1 million. I mean, it was such – people are stupid, man. I'm sorry, man.
I agree. Oh, and speaking before I forget, this just popped in my head. Tonight, I know you guys haven't seen it. CNN's showing it for free. For cheap.
Oh, yes. Yes, the three.
The Nuggle Strangers. Yeah, Mike. Yes. DVR. Yes. You're watching Mike.
You know what? I was going to start watching it today, but I got distracted by Valley of the Boom, which I don't recommend.
Then go back to it. It's showing it tonight on CNN. It's really good.
Here's what happened. I was going to watch it. It was sitting there. And my wife came in the room and I started and I was flipping around and I saw Valley of the Boom on. I'm like, oh, this looks like it's interesting. So I went back to the first episode and started watching. I was like, oh, this sucks. And I stopped.
Epic fail, dude. Yeah, Ja Rule next to you while you're watching this stuff.
By the way, I just want to say this one thing. A friend of mine made a comment and I thought it was hilarious.
Another show which I'm interested in. I haven't seen it. I know Chewy did. Jose recommended. A couple of friends recommended to me. And that's the Sex Education. I heard really good things about it. We're not going to talk about it this week. I want to watch a few more. Watch a few episodes and talk about it.
I would absolutely recommend it, dude. It's funny. You know, it starts off a little Porky-esque. You know, the classic raunchy in your face.
Right.
But there's actually heart and story, and that, you know, the ending is kind of leaves it off. That, you know. It kind of gives you doesn't tie up all the loose ends, but it kind of leaves it open for another season if they do pursue it. But so it's pretty cool. I liked it.
No, I'm very curious. And we'll talk about that when we watch at least three or four, and hopefully, and then we'll get to talk about that in more depth because I'm very, very curious about the show. Yeah. Like I said, just so much to watch. And again, this is a good problem to have, is tons of stuff to watch. And that's great. Your time's filled for the next couple of months for sure. Unless you're Chewy, we watch the show one day. Let's move out of Netflix. Netflix, but we're going to talk about two shows real quick before we sign off here. The first one, of course, and I assume, Mike, you did see him. I didn't ask you before. And that's True Detective on HBO.
Yes. Okay. First four episodes.
Chewy, I know you've caught up.
Tonight's the next two.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. Mike, start with you. What do you think?
I think it's really good. I'm enjoying the heck out of it, actually. And I was like, after watching the first two, I was saying to myself, well, what part does the other guy play? My brain fell out of my head. The name of the guy that the white guy, his partner.
Oh, Stephen Dorff.
Stephen Dorff, yeah. I was like, what part does he play? But man, he's really good.
I didn't recognize him at first. I'm like,
I was like, wow. I was like, he's really good.
From Blade fame.
Yeah, that's right, man.
But Mahershala Ali is a great actor. But
dude, he's money, dude. He's
really, really good. But he's Stephen Dorff surprised me.
He's going streaking. Right. He's on a major streak. Good for him. He's great. I love him, man. And Chewy, before I jump to my thoughts, what do you think so far?
I like I said, I never saw season one, whatever. Oh. Eh.
You've got to see it,
season two.
Oh,
season two. But then awful. This season is, yeah, I know. But this is, I mean, it's back up to where it needs to be. There's a couple things that just annoy me. And you can tell right off the bat.
Such
a drastic change in directors from the first two episodes to the third episode is glaring. It's in your face.
It's fair.
And it's distracting because I was like, oh, these first two episodes look great, shot beautifully, great exposition, great interchange between the memories. And then the third episode, you're like, what happened? Hello? Hello? What are you guys doing, man? And so like,
I'm okay. I get you, but it's been different directors for the most of the seasons. I'm okay with it. I think for the most part, so I'm not too concerned about it. First of all, I'll say this: dude, you get HBO. If you think this season is great, Dean, it's too first. The first season is far superior than this.
No. I'm sure I've heard full season.
Well, the acting between Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. I mean, it's really good.
It's stellar. Yeah. Stellar. I mean, I'm glad they went back to what made the first season so great. Very dark, very moody. The first one was. Made all over the place, unfocused. It was bad.
Yeah.
Here's very much simple story, hone it down, very methodical in pace, which I
but
love.
But also
very
kind of
dark.
Related to the first season too, which I liked.
Yes, and it's back to form. I'm glad.
Dropping the breadcrumbs. How would you follow the trail and follow?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're along for the ride as he's investigating what's going on.
Here's what I really dig about it. It's what's perception versus what's reality. And that's what I really dig about what they're doing with Mahershala Ali's character in that show. And because he's when you go to the modern one where he's like Grandpa Mahershala, it's like he's a mess. I mean, he's on the border of like killing himself in every scene that he films.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's losing his memory. Right, I mean, he's got either dementia or onset of Alzheimer's or something.
Right, I think
he's
it's like,
sure
like mid
onset perception
Alzheimer's.
Of things that are a little altered and warped. So
yeah.
It's great to kind of get that side of it because it just helps build this puzzle. It's great. It's just really well written. And it, again, that episode, fourth episode, whatever, the direction was a little off. I agree with you there. But overall, dude, it's really good.
A couple nitpicky small things, lazy writing. Yeah. A bit of lazy writing in that episode as well. I'm like, come on, guys, you can do better.
No, I agree with you there because the first thing I noticed in anything is the writing, which is why I'm about to talk about shows what great writing is about. You know, that's the counterpart.
Damn right, baby.
I want to focus on. I know Mike, you're up to five, and we'll talk about that in a second. But this last episode, we're not going to spoil it, Mike. But you know what it's about. Let's not kid ourselves.
I'm going to spoil it. I'm just kidding.
I'm watching it tonight, so
because episode six, it goes back, and when you saw the teaser for it, I'm sure how it goes back and shows you the origin of
the crossing.
The two worlds that created, right?
Yes, yeah.
And usually I hate that. Usually I'm very worried about this prequel stuff, and they're going to ruin it. Yeah. They're gonna remove the curtain. There's Oz behind there. You know?
No, they didn't. They didn't.
They nailed it.
It was done. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it wasn't. Didn't just throw it out there. No, I mean, it was beautifully done and explained. And it's like, oh, what? Now you really get what the show
is about. It enhanced the experience and what you saw, which is rare because usually once the secret's out, you're like. Okay.
Secrets out. Show's over.
Right. And I hate when they do that. And I hate when they kind of take the focus from what the show is going because you don't see any new characters for the most part. You don't see Silk. Nothing that you don't see anybody, which worries me. But you didn't miss him. Didn't miss him at all. It's episode Mike. I'm telling you, it's the best of the season. Maybe the best out of all of them. To be honest with you, the psychology that went into it in terms of why they behave the way they do, and then use utilization of these. I'll just say the rats, and I'll leave it at that. To kind of mimic. Humanity and their behavior. I thought it was brilliant. Brilliant. It's a fantastic episode. And man, it really elevated the whole thing. It elevated everything to a new level. So good, Mike. Yeah. I absolutely love that episode. Fantastic.
So good.
I wish I get the details and I always say I won't, but it's so good.
Until next week. Until he catches up.
Great because, because episode five was fantastic. Mike and I know you saw it. This is when we'll get spoiler here. When they broke out, I guess, prison. I don't know, that's a prison.
Yeah, the
whatever
prison
they call
on
it.
Alpha.
The alpha detention facility.
Exactly. And we find out that guy is the father of, I guess one of the founders of this experiment or whatever happened.
Yeah, I guess, let's say that.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. It was a great episode, exciting, reminiscent of episode 9 from the first season.
Right.
The action sequence.
Yeah, when they stormed the building. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, reminiscent of that. Great. I mean, Mike, just because me and Chuy have talked about it. Mike, you've seen the first five. Just your thoughts so far, because we never talked about it yet.
I think it's better than the first season, honestly. I'm enjoying it more. I think that they've built on the story, which is here's my thing, man. I need, like, first seasons are generally building blocks, right? I mean, Game of Thrones.
Sometimes,
you could throw a lot of Breaking Bad. Like, Breaking Bad isn't, like, the greatest first season of all time.
You got to set the table. You got to set the table.
Right. So I really feel like this first season was...
Look at the menu.
Exactly.
Right. Was excellent. I thought it was it made me want to watch the second season. I'm enjoying the heck out of the second season. And they just keep building the tension in, like I want to double my doses of lisinopril watching this friggin' show, because it adds to your, almost to your anxiety level, right, as you watch it. So that's how I was a little pumped up about watching episode 6 tonight too. So
I know, like I said, and you're gonna enjoy it, because a lot of times anticipation, you know, outweighs the result, right? And you're like, oh, can't wait for it, and I'm like, and then it takes the win out of the sales, if you will. This one, I think, really enhanced the experience, Mike. It took it to a new level as far as understanding what's really going on. And now you're like, now I want to see if it's going to end up being how it was going to be based on what they thought.
I just think the premise of the show is really friggin' interesting. And
it really is. It's fascinating.
And it's like, it's something that, like, would be in real... If something like this were to happen in real life, this would happen this way. You know, and that's why it's like... it's so interesting.
It's as grounded as can be for a show like this.
Right.
You know.
So anybody that's not like watching I really recommend them to watch.
What's Stokes' wife? I forget her name.
Emily?
Emily,
yeah. How... Yes. The non-alpha one, her...
Emily Alpha.
Involvement, what's going on, which we didn't suspect before.
Yes.
Which is great. That the suitcase thing is fantastic. I like that aspect with the management, getting deeper into that. And that gets explored more in this episode.
And it's funny. That wasn't one of our theories last year. And Kirk and Brown, we did talk about theories right at the end of the season. Who we thought management was, right?
Right, yeah.
We kind of threw it out there, one of the ideas.
We did. Okay. I don't want to say anything. But yeah, it's right. So it's kind of what we thought. The means we had no idea, but the ends we figured, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Not to spoil anything. But it's great, man. This guy is always, you know, J.K. Simmons is always great. Although I'll say this. I want to see more Simmons, though. I haven't gotten a whole lot of Simmons yet.
Okay.
They're kind of telling everyone else's story, but his.
Actually, I think it's been more Emily-centric, right? I mean...
Yes, exactly.
Emily, Quayle, and...
We want to see more, but we did get more of his story, you know, when he's in the jail and he's trying to get to his departure point.
I'm not saying, it's not devoid of so. I'm just saying we need more. He is the star of the show. I would like to see more. And it's a small gripe. It's a small thing. Not a big deal. Trust me. Fine. They're giving us other good stuff. If you substitute him with some garbage, then yeah, I get it. They're giving us good stuff despite him not being prominent on the show. I'm sure they're going to show more of him as the episodes go on. But what was cool was that guy. I think I know his names. I don't know why. I guess the contact, and he had his twin there at the same time.
Lambert,
there we go.
That was an interesting twist because, I'm like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh shit, they're working together.
Yeah, and that's
for their own self-preservation, essentially.
Yeah, and we haven't seen that before out of this show. Like, so it's given different aspects of it. So very contrarian. These guys are actually like, well, you know what? Let's use what we know each other.
Yes, exactly.
And make the most out of it. Yep. That was cool. I like that. And that's a great surprise. And that was a cool sequence, too.
The fact is, like, nobody knew.
No one knew. No one knew, and then there's more moles.
No one does know because they didn't know.
They know now, obviously. Well, at least some people know. Just two of them, but not all of them. But when the secretary killed them, that was cool. I was like, this time I thought it was someone else. It's her, and she was, you know, obviously she took it for the team,
right?
And all that was great. I mean, it's great reviews, man. It all makes sense, you know, and they keep giving you surprises almost week in and week out. Such a good show. It's stellar, man. I can't wait. I mean, this next four, man. Super excited. I'm excited for you, Mike. I can't wait for you to see this next one.
Yes.
Great. It's so good. Actually, tonight we're watching the seventh one.
Number seven for us, yes.
That sucks. It's going to end in 3 weeks. But I'm curious to see. And we'll deep dive these last three, four episodes, obviously, and how it ends up. Because I'm hoping, you know, hope it stick the landing. That's what I'm saying. Let's not M-night the situation. Let's stick the landing. although I like the ending in Glass. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's great. It's special on TV. There's no doubt. That episode last week pretty much spells it out why the show's the best show on TV going right now, as far as I'm concerned. And it's the writing. The writing is top-notch. And a lot of good shows have great performances, a lot of cool action. All that's great, but the writing is just, is above anything else right now. It's that simple. And every like when you watch something like Game of Thrones, I love Game of Thrones, but let's be real, the writing is subpar, particularly
the last two years in particular.
Yeah, because once they lost their source material,
exactly,
you can see where good writing is and where good writing is lacking.
Exactly, these guys, it's like you know they're taking the Bird Box writing challenge and like, all right, let's see what we can do, you know, blindfolded, spooning stuff up. it is what it is. But yeah, so but I mean, it's kind of part of the. I mean, I love good writing, and that's just as good, which is why True Detective is great.
I'm disappointed in Stars that they're not advertising this damn show enough, man. It is that damn good.
It's a shame. I thought you were talking about the upcoming American Gods too, which has been underplayed.
Yeah, that's the one. I think they promote that more. I think
for that than I did for this, because this was like all of a sudden, here's a trailer, and a week later, season two. I'm like, what? Yeah,
the same
calendar year.
American Gods is more expensive, so I get it. You know, you get a big budget movie, quote unquote.
They changed the showrunners. You know, this guy didn't have time to come back and do it. Neil Gaiman didn't have. He was busy with Amazon. I mean, so there's a lot of stuff going on. But
right.
I mean, put these two heads to head. Which one would you rather see at this point?
That's kind of not even close.
thank you.
However, though, I mean, it is a big budget show, and they got to recoup that somehow. They got to get more viewership on a show like that because it's costing more money. Like that much, I guarantee. Counterpart doesn't seem like it's as expensive by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think it is. It's pretty intimate as far as the location and stuff like that. There's nothing fantastical about the show. The idea might be, but not the show itself. But it's great, man. I can't wait to talk about this more. I know Chewy will be chopping up the biff to talk about this next week or next couple weeks. Mike, love to get your thoughts once you see that episode and see what you thought about it. I think you are going to love it. But that's where we're at. So we'll kind of leave it there. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
I'll go ahead, Mike.
You can go, Chewy. I have some, but go ahead.
Okay. I did start watching Deadly Class on Sci-Fi. I came out a couple weeks ago. I find it very interesting, actually. It's also based on a comic, I guess. I'm not a big comic guy, but if you get a chance to watch it, I would say check it out. It's very, very interesting premise, very interesting story, very 80s. It's actually set in the 80s, so the music, the feel. But overall, I enjoyed it, so check it out.
Okay. All right. Mike?
I am enjoying Young Justice Season 3 on DC Universe. I think it's really good. I think everybody ought to give it a watch and enjoy it. Titans, again, I'm gonna stump for this until everybody watches it, but it's a really good show. And if you have to see it through nefarious means,
I'll watch it. Give me your login credentials. I'll be more than happy to watch it.
Don't say that.
I ain't paying for it.
It's okay. When that streaming service goes down, Netflix picks it up, and we'll get to binge it as much as you want. I heard it's still not doing well.
It's not doing well. But I mean, for $53, I thought it was worth it to just.
No, I get it. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to get swallowed up. It's just too much stuff coming out now with Apple getting in gear and Disney, you know, getting ready to drop their. I mean, it's just. There's not room for everything, and I don't think DC has.
I think that the DC streaming smart, DC channel is going to be an epic fail, whether it be
Netflix or Amazon or whoever, and share that load and get more viewership for that show, because I hear it's good. You're right. I hear it's good. Yeah.
It's really good.
It is what it is. Things may change. We'll see. But either way, so we'll leave it off there, gentlemen. Again, another great, great show here. Appreciate it, guys. Awesome. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook for the reviews, news, trailers always dropped. Almost every other day is always stuff happening. So thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yay. Peace.
All right, gentlemen.